Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Destin Legere, your host. Joining me today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
And Sean Finnegan.
Chomp, chomp.
He does a shark thing. I don't get it.
Yeah, we don't.
I don't either.
Just be careful.
It was given to me.
That said, thank you so much for joining the show. Hey, if you're listening on a podcast service, don't forget to leave us a review because it helps the show grow. So let's talk about the news going on in Destiny right now. Tons of news this week, including controversial PC details, a Trials of Osiris tease, energy drink tie-ins, and a peek at Iron Banner weapons in Destiny 2. First, let's talk about those controversial PC details. Bungie let us know in the weekly update that in an effort to stop cheaters, they've implemented a few measures that will impact streamers specifically. Everyone else should be just fine. Basically, you'll need to run the game in windowed borderless mode if you use one PC for streaming and gaming, or you'll need to output into a splitter and then into a capture card of your choice. There were also some UI restrictions for services like Discord. Discord will still function, but not the in-game who's talking feature. We'll talk more about the community's reaction to this, but first, let's talk about that Trials of Osiris tease from Lars. In an interview with the Daily Star, Lars Bakken teased that people will be blown away when they see the trial stuff. That's it. Thanks, Lars. He also talked a bit about the possibility of a PTR, saying it would be a challenge, but if they decided it was the best thing for the game, it might happen. Okay, he was pretty brief, but it's still nice to dream. Also, a small note, but we got a peek at the newest Iron Banner weapons in the Kill Tracker Ghost trailer. The mode will thankfully be back, and I'm loving the look of the golden weapons. In energy drink tie-in deal news, Destiny 2 and Rockstar Energy Drinks have teamed up to offer you in-game items with the purchase of their beverage. This is similar to the Red Bull tie-in, which rewarded you with a Sparrow and Ghost, but this time Rockstar is offering pieces of gear. Little else is known about the rewards at this time, but if I had to guess, the rewards would probably be minor. Over on the Destiny 1 side, this is the last week for Iron Banner, which is happening right now, RIP, and the second to last week for Trials of Osiris. If you're a fan of either, be sure to get in a game or two before they go away forever. From Destiny 1, anyway. So, let's kick it off with today's hottest topic, that PC news. A little bit of controversy. You got Total Biscuit out there.
Controversy.
He's very unhappy about this.
So just for an overview, Bungie put out a statement and said that, hey, we're making these limitations and restrictions for some third-party common clients. And the reason we're doing this is we want to make sure that there's a level playing field across PC players.
Hacks, man.
And they're worried about cheating.
Yep.
And for people who aren't familiar with the way PC works, or anytime you run something client side, if you're able to if your game client is able to read the game's code, it just opens the door for manipulation of that code.
Yep.
And it can be small stuff, it could also be huge stuff. A great example of this was Diablo 2 back in the day. Mm-hmm. It ran client side, and people were able to dupe items and get like doubles and triples of all the most exclusive and awesome gear.
So people are,
just don't want that to happen in Destiny 2.
Exactly. People are really concerned about this. The one that I'm hearing a lot about is Discord. Basically, it's one feature of Discord, voice communication, who's talking, and visual notification features such as those provided by Discord or Mumble are not compatible with Destiny 2. Notification features may still be provided through the third-party application. So, I mean, Discord's still going to work, just not this pop-up thing that is available.
Yeah, I think people have just got accustomed to it.
Yeah.
And they feel like it's being taken away.
Mm-hmm.
I think I understand that it can be frustrating when you're used to using something. And I don't use the Discord feature, by the way. I do stream, so XSplit, I'm concerned about having to go windowed mode versus I actually just right-click and pick the game.
You have some problems with Lawbreakers.
Lawbreakers.
Because it would change resolution sometimes.
Yeah, Lawbreakers, my window is snapping back and forth. So it could be a little bumpy. But it's not like – the intent is good. Like what would you rather have to find out that people are hacking the game? And so like maybe
if you jump into our comments section, that's what they want.
Yeah, well, maybe that's
let me
why
do whatever I want,
upset.
Deal with the cheaters is what a lot of comments are saying.
I'd rather be safe, but like see how uncomfortable it really is. Mm-hmm. You know, how many people are really affected by
this. So if you're really worried about it, just run the game normally, output to a splitter – and output back into the machine. This is only for streamers. So like all the technical stuff I'm talking about, it's going to be really boring for anybody who doesn't stream. So like this is impacting like, what, 5% of the audience?
What you're saying
That'd
is
be
that
a lot, but
it's a small part of the audience, and then the solutions are even very simple for that audience.
Run it to a splitter, run it back into your capture card.
Well,
or
that means
run
you need a capture card, though, to be fair. So, right, it could
what
be...
What streamer doesn't have a capture card?
A lot of people don't. They just stream straight off their PC. That's what makes it nice. You right-click and go.
So most streamers who do that already run windowed borderless because it's easier to tab between
Yeah, as
programs.
You go between stuff, totally.
So, like, there's a lot of people are really concerned. Now, one genuine concern that I did hear online, so I'll bring this up, was that some people worry about VSync and such not being able to be activated. But if you hop into your NVIDIA settings, you can actually hop into your advanced settings and just set that to VSync on.
Yeah.
And you should be covered. And then also in-game redundantly make sure
it should still work. But yeah, I mean, I'd say they're valid concerns. Maybe wait to see how uncomfortable it is and how many people it really affects. And if there's a solution, to your point, like there might be some solutions that you just haven't thought about yet. So I'm not underscoring that it's uncomfortable, but I appreciate that they're really focused on not like letting hackers get a hold of this, so to speak. Cause I don't want to deal with a game that's got like a ton of people cheating. We've been down that route, in previous games and even within Destiny for a while. And it sucks.
How many times have you got DDoSed in trials last little bit? Just even
nothing that I can prove,
that's
but
what I mean.
It's been really horrible when you're on like that final stretch. So like
it happens a lot.
You guys remember the first 6 months of The Division on PC?
Oh, I didn't play on PC. I played on PS4.
Unplayable because of so many hackers. And like that whole environment was just filled to the brim with stuff that shouldn't have been happening.
So normally, I'm not the guy that's on Bungie's side. Normally, I'm like taking them to the task about PlayStation exclusives or something. But I'm just kind of like, this is impacting such a small fraction of the – I know you're taking the other side.
I'm not.
Let me finish my point. But it's such a small percentage of people affected. Like the rest of you, if you're just playing, it's going to be totally fine. Just play Destiny. You don't have to worry about anything. This is only for people like me, Fran, CJ that are streaming the PC beta.
Yeah.
And we've been producers for you've been 20 years,
long time.
I'm 10 years. Like this is such basic stuff I deal with every day.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, why is this so complicated for people that stream?
I don't think it's I think going to say is I think you're responding to there's been a lot of drama. We don't have much to latch on to. I think I've brought this up before. I'm not choosing a side. I think I could run into a situation
You're doing balancing act.
I don't know where I'm at
Fair
with this issue. I haven't
friend.
Don't knock it till
Fair
you try
balance
it.
Friend.
No, don't knock it till you try it. And so my point is I'm hoping
sit
I don't
on a fence, friend.
Run it now. That's not it.
I'm just kidding.
Both sides.
I'm just kidding.
How have the changes affected you? That's my
point. I mean, I'm not a PC Destiny guy.
You're not even playing.
I mean, I don't
now,
even
if
really...
I play it and it is a disaster, then
that's
I will
I'm,
have something.
That is
to
what I'm
about.
Saying. See
but right
how it...
now, people are freaking out.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Freaking out, man.
Go for a ride. See if it's super uncomfortable. If there are some of these solutions people come up with, maybe it's not as horrible as it may seem. But we also don't have anything else to talk about.
That's it. To me, this is like the lull waiting for Destiny 2. And it's like, what was that? Rage. It's
But I don't want to invalidate me. No, I don't want to invalidate people's concerns. But I also should, you know, I just
I guess,
think we should try it.
Okay, I guess I get that perspective.
Jerk.
And I'm not trying to invalidate your concerns. I'm trying to say, hey, buddy, it's going to be okay. Here's two really, really easy solutions.
Yeah.
Full screen borderless or right. just run it to a splitter and run it back in.
As long as you use that condescending dad voice, I'm good with it.
I don't mind.
Where do you think you learned it, Fran? Where did you learn it?
I personally don't mind invalidating people's concerns if they're invalid
concerns. You
should
really go to the next topic. Quick.
All right. Well,
I'm joking.
Okay. I'm not too worried about this stuff. It seems like it's going to be pretty easy. We will revisit this once it's actually out. And if it is a disaster and it's all crazy, then yeah, we'll take them to task. But right now they're like, hey, we're introducing this stuff to stop cheating. Here's easy solutions. Have fun, streamers. Everybody else, you're not impacted.
Yeah. So, yeah. That is, and I appreciate that message. Like, this is something that's going on in the community. I think there's validity to it. It's important to discuss in an objective way. But a lot of you out there are like, guys, can you move on to the next topic? Because, like, I'm not streaming, right?
That's a good point, Fran. Sorry to open up with it. No. Let's get into the super nerdy stuff. So we have a random section right now because there's a bunch of little things that I wanted to discuss, like those Iron Banner weapons. So we saw this in the trailer, the Kill Tracker Ghost trailer. Not only did we see it looked like it was a fully automatic sidearm, which is what I was super excited and distracted by, because in the next shot, there was also an Iron Banner grenade launcher being shown. You see the logo on there. It's like the little badge that you can actually stand on in the new map and in the current map. Last Iron Banner, by the way.
I know.
Missed it. Yeah. Until Destiny 2. But great. The new weapons look really cool. They have like gold trim. They have the same sort of look. But
yeah. If they are indeed Iron Banner weapons. We think so.
It literally has an Iron Banner logo on it.
Yeah, but
I would 95% sure.
I was watching, that unknown player video. I thought he made an interesting point though. Like that Suro sidearm like has the same badge, the Iron Banner badge. So, but it says Suros on the side. So kind of what's going on with that icon. I think the really gold weapons, the more obvious ones, were probably that little Easter egg teasers that they put in there for us. But yeah, shocker, there's going to be a grenade launcher in Iron Banner. Crazy. No, I'm excited. But,
I wonder if it'll be as good as the last grenade launcher.
Yeah, I think.
Did you guys like grenade launchers at all?
Terrible.
They were really
OP.
What?
No.
What?
For 0.5 seconds.
I think it actually, they shot
the fence,
like,
Fran.
It was like soda pop cans that just you'd throw at your enemies.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of
just
feeling.
Just jump and no one will ever be able to
shook up a can and threw it at someone.
Same with rocket launchers, the Haka one they let us use. I was like, what is this? Like,
But again, we talked about that on the last show, right? Like, not. That might have been a trash one.
Yeah,
like we talked about shotguns, right? It took multiple shots with some low impact shotguns. Maybe that was that version of grenade launcher. You might have another one that's got like some crazy features. I think that's in store. I think grenade launchers have potential ricocheting off stuff.
Well, we talked a little bit about it last time, but I think they're going to be more of like a crowd control / like PvE type heavy, I don't really see it. Again, if they worked the way that they did.
I think area in the PvP, like explosive, like clearing enemies could be great. I think it depends on how it behaves.
When you say heavy, you mean power.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard for me not to.
Well, that's the thing. So think about even getting it, how much ammo you're going to get from that. We're talking PvP, obviously, in the moment. But
yeah.
I'm excited about rocket launcher. Yeah, I didn't love it in the beta. But
you mean grenade launchers,
That's what I meant. What did I say?
Rockets.
Whatever.
It's hard to get their turns.
There's a bunch of weapon types.
The weapon, like, I like the idea of having badges for whatever, like if it's an Iron Banner thing versus a Trials thing. Like the weapons that we had in Destiny 2 obviously looked a particular way. When you had, like, there was, it's a new way that visual complexity can be introduced into Destiny 2. I think that looks cool.
And the lore too, like with Amalan and the Haka. Coming into that, it's kind of cool too.
Absolutely. Right? But like you and me, and actually you too, like we're camera guys, and like with lenses, with the Canon L series lenses have that red ring on the front. Like that one thing makes the lens a little bit more desirable. Like Sigma art lenses have this little A badge on them that stands for art. And it's like, the idea that in Destiny it's going to be similar, like my gun is going to have this badge on it that says like Iron Banner version. Like that's really cool.
It's the name of my new clan, the L series, because we put up so many L's. Losses. Get it?
That's, I mean, you need to be a camera guy to know that. It's like, yeah, we won't explain it.
Deep
here.
Cut.
I will say before you move on, Palindrome is the ugliest looking weapon.
Oh yeah, it's terrible.
I love it.
Not if you have the right shaders on and you're doing the right dance.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like if you get your tower casual situation just right, it's kind of nice.
It's still ugly. I asked Luna for that reason.
Yeah. I was so distracted by the PC thing. There was another major thing in the update. I'll try and remember it. But for now, let's talk about the energy drink tie-ins.
Yeah. Well, were we going to talk about the map or that later?
Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah, I've been waiting.
Javelin 4.
Four.
That's right. So the only places I could find mentions of Javelin are on rocket launchers and the three spaceships Javelin.
But for 100% clarity, I forget if you mentioned in the beginning, right? It's a new control map coming to the PC beta.
Yeah, so the PC
beta. We've never played it.
No. The PC beta is getting a new control map, Javelin 4. It is replacing Endless Veil, the map I like more than... Midtown. Yeah. I would have liked to see actually like control on Endless Veil, and then we got the new map.
It'd be nice if you could play that both, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rotating would be great. But they want data, right? So they put them on Javelin, see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've only ever played Countdown on one map. Yeah. Like, why not switch it up?
In mode, too.
I'm thinking about when I think I uttered it a number of times. Like, don't worry if, you know, you're waiting to play the PC beta. It's the same stuff that we got with this beta. It'll be the same thing. Oops, well, I guess you get a new map. So you better go out and get a PC, by the way, if you don't have one and want to play it.
By the way, but if it's you're like streaming, a week you're going to have to run in Windows. yeah. If you're streaming.
But this is like a week before the game's out, too. So, if you're super fervent to play, you might want to find a PC. But... Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm excited there's a new map coming. We don't know anything about it, though.
We can't do much beyond speculate, but it's called Javelin, so I think you will be playing on top of a rocket launcher, like a large rocket launcher.
I think it's going to be a really, really long, narrow map, like in Halo 1, what was it called? You know what I'm talking about?
No, I'm trying to remember. I remember there was a map in 3. There was a bridge that was long.
No, there's like there's...
You're speculating on
maps. Long bridge
map
and a long, narrow
map. I can't believe... I mean, we have a lot of Halo players right here. None of us can remember this map.
I don't remember.
It's from Halo 1. It's long and thin, like very like this thin, like it was
very
about as thin as our.
Are there trees?
No trees. It's indoors, and there's two levels. Like there's ramps that go up. It's, oh my god,
ramps!
Okay, ramps that go.
Anyway, you gotta do it. Okay,
maybe
it's not Blood Gulch or Coag.
I don't post about it.
Yeah,
later on Twitter.
Obligatory Halo moment.
But we don't know what planet it's on, right?
No,
we don't know anything.
We literally know it's called Javelin Dash 4.
Yeah, so we've really stretched that out.
Yeah.
Let's speculate on this. I think that we saw a very symmetrical, very obviously designed, you know, I'm not saying it was easy, but like, you know, I thought Endless Veil made like sense. Center area, two little outer. We've seen symmetric. Like Burning Shrine kind of has a little bit of that feel.
You know what we did see in that Kill Tracker Ghost trailer? We did see a new PvP map, actually.
It's one called Longest.
Called what?
Longest.
I know it was long something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's long and thin.
Anyway, in the Kill Tracker Ghost trailer, we did see a PvP map with like man cannons on it. So that could be it. And
yeah, we
I don't
should
know
scour
was,
the footage to see if
I
it
don't
was.
Know if it was the same one or a different one, but also there was a PvP map that was taking place near what looked like the farm or the EDZ, the European Dead Zone. Yep. So it could be either of those locations or that could be the map. We could have actually gotten a peek at it in the trailer.
Mm. We should double check. Who knows? But we don't know much about it, but
no
I was just gonna,
about the name.
I was gonna speculate. Yeah. I wouldn't expect that sort of safe, symmetrical map on that one. So very kind of, I'm curious to see like what they want to test. It's clear, like that's kind of why they're choosing a new map, right? Test it out.
I was excited by the map.
I'm interested to see what like 4v4 without the countdown mode actually plays like on Midtown as well too. Cause that map's very big
it
and
feels
fragmented.
Big.
Well, we don't get to do that in the PC.
No, I know, but that's what I mean. Just like later on, assuming you can do that, right? In 4v4, like they're not going to lock maps to modes.
We don't have 100% clear. They've designed maps for modes. We don't know what the rotations are yet, right? I don't recall reading about that. So,
well, you remember when Trials was locked to one map? That didn't last very long.
No, but rotating through maps, they have done that before where certain things don't rotate through certain other maps, like First Light.
Yeah, that's true.
So it could happen. I actually think that could happen. Like it is – well – Midtown, I will say, seems like it's designed for control.
Yeah.
It has several areas you can go to, but
that's a good point.
I think we'll see some maps that aren't in every rotation.
I don't love Midtown. I don't like the map. Like,
you don't?
Just something
all the
about
corridors?
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like the – I don't know. There's something about it that's not gelling with me, but I love Endless Veil. I think that's the symmetry of Endless Veil that like it looks aesthetically different on each side, but it's very symmetrical.
Spatial awareness is, I think, very easy overall on Endless Veil, but down, it gets a little trickier, and you've got ledges above you.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. It introduces
the map and where you are.
Yeah.
And where things
spatial awareness is. It's tough. Like you gotta know where you're going backwards and up and to the side. Mm-hmm. And on Endless Veil, I feel that's pretty locked up.
Nothing drives me more crazy than when I'm trying to back up out of a sniper's line of sight and I hit a piece of geometry or my other teammate like pushes me forward. And I'm like, well, thanks.
So that actually seems worse in Destiny 2 than in Destiny 1. The getting bumped by teammates part. Like,
really?
There's been numerous times when I'm like trying to move and I'm like, what am I stuck on? And it's a player being like, what are you doing?
Yeah, because you're going for power ammo. We already realized
you're such good teams. Or you're trying to get power ammo. Exactly.
You're shoulder charging.
Like, you get it. Oh, yeah.
Getting blocked is the worst.
Real quick, let's talk about this energy drink tie-in with Rockstar. Now, there's some bunch of stuff in the fine print about how many maximum you can get, but basically they're giving away free gear. I'm guessing it'll be like an engram or something that you can get as a drop, and then you decrypt it at Tyra.
Probably would be like a treasure-esque type package, probably.
Yeah, probably. I mean, so in Destiny 1, they had the Red Bull tie-in. You guys remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So basically you would do the quest with your Sparrow where you would try and get to overcharge level 3.
Fly towards light beams.
Five, and then you would do a time trial on one of the new strikes. And then you'd be rewarded with a ghost and a Sparrow.
Yeah.
And also there was an XP boost. There's an XP boost there. So Rockstar, I mean, they're just giving away codes for gear.
It's similar. I mean, I think the main point to make is like, what will the gear look like? Are we going to be in a situation where, is it really like awesome?
Is it pay to win?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think it'll be that.
No, they're not going to do
but
that.
But it could look really cool, and we have run into that situation. And then normally that stuff does get released, be it 6 months later or 8 months. So
here's my guess. It's going to be blues. Even if it is purples, they're not going to give you enough of them that you could like game the system, or it'll they'll drop at like 360.
Next
it'll be like 380.
Yeah, I think it would be. Yeah. Oh, I was thinking it would be infusion fodder. It'll probably be purple infusion fodder, like Spectrehood stuff.
Yeah, as long as it's nothing, you know, locked like into the area.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I do think it could end up like, I really want that set. And it's like, you know, I got to go buy like a Rockstar. Well, that's what they want. But you also should be able to wait it out. And like, honestly, it won't matter. I don't think, right? Like, you'll have so much.
Do you think you'll have to buy this? This will be exclusive to the actual code. Maybe.
Isn't that the speculation that it's
you were saying that potentially that 6 months down the line that'll be available.
We don't know enough.
I think you're going to get the gear drops and it will make you look like a can of Rockstar energy drink.
Honestly, that's what I was just saying. You were like, who knows? It could look cool. And I was like, when have these marketing things ever
I think it's going to drop a shader called Rockstar.
Because you know this is a marketing.
It's
going to
be black and gold.
And it has a particle effect where there's a big star. Like you have wings made out of stars.
Or like you're fizzing.
There we go.
Like bubbles are coming off your
ceiling.
This stuff never
and
like,
you can fly.
Yeah, the outrage, I guess, with so much stuff to get in Destiny in general.
I don't think there's outrage.
No,
sorry,
no,
I think
but for this, I've
people
never really
are never
been
angry on the internet.
I think we just talked over each other for the last minute. I'm sorry. Sorry,
it's fine.
Sorry,
it's fine.
It is fine.
The final thing, there was an interview in the Daily Star with Lars Bakken.
Yeah.
And he talked a little bit about – he teased Trials. I brought that up at the beginning of the show. He also brought up the conversation I want to have with you guys. Basically, he said, would a PTR be good for Destiny? He was kind of like, you know, maybe we would, maybe we wouldn't. We've seen this with Overwatch. Mm-hmm. We try not to compare to games all the time here, but Overwatch is
a PTR stands for – this is the tournament ranking
public
stuff?
Public test realm.
Oh, sorry. That's right.
So they – well, is it public or private?
It's the where they release stuff early so they test it first. Yeah. I forgot.
Like, the way it's worked in other games, primarily Overwatch, and before that, again, World of Warcraft. I know you guys hate it when we bring that up.
Done.
But it exists
as World of Warcraft.
It exists as a separate client that is like once you – it uses your same login and has a standard character for you based on an archetype that you played. So it's not your hunter, but it's a hunter or whatever. And you go in knowing like, hey, some of this stuff's going to be broken. Some of it's not going to work. All of it is subject to change, but we're here to like – you can report bugs and get your feedback. Mm-hmm. That would be kind of cool.
It's been working great
especially,
for Overwatch.
Especially with a community like Destiny where like – I mean, remember, you know, there were numerous times in Destiny 1 when, like, they implemented, like, kind of broad sweeping changes.
Yeah.
And then had totally unintended circumstances that players were totally unhappy
Turbo
with.
Infinite glitch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is stuff that PTR catches before because there's thousands of players on there playing it because they want to get player like it's a great two-way street. Developers get feedback about the game before it goes live, and players get to experience new stuff before it comes out. Like, both parties get something out of that.
Yeah,
kind of
definitely.
Thing.
Like, we do coverage all the time about Overwatch. Like, we did Doomfist, and Doomfist initially came out, and you played him in the PTR, and before he launched, they're like, hey, we're tweaking some of the numbers. His fist was too powerful or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we notched it down just a little
bit. His fist was too doomy.
Yeah. So we ratcheted it down just a touch, and it's all good now.
Yeah, I think it makes a ton of sense, but I was going to say, I get the sense that Bungie really only likes the live environment data. They love collecting a lot of data. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they're opposed to the idea, but I don't think they take it as nearly as valuable as when it's out in the wild. And I was just going to make the last point. I think the biggest thing they need to show to us is that they're going to react more quickly. That's why we would want a PTR, where it's like, okay, but we end up with stuff sometimes. And then it's like 2 months and the special ammo like sucks. And it's like, that's a long time to wait when maybe this would help solve that problem.
So that's a question before you go. Does Overwatch get updated how often?
Like how often? The PTR comes out every few months. Mm-hmm. Like they release a new character, he goes into the PTR. They're doing an event, PTR it.
But the PTR is ahead of these patches and updates, right?
So yeah, so like what will happen is you're playing the game, the live version of the game, PTR, they're like, hey, on their Twitter or whatever, PTR is open. You already have the client. You double-click it. You go into it. It updates to whatever the current PTR realm is that has all the new changes and stuff that's subject to, hey, if all of this stuff is good, this is what's going to be in the next version of the live game. And if it's not, it'll be tweaked. That's how it works. It's every like 2 months.
I think they've tweaked every time. Like a few minor things. But yeah. I mean, and it's been beneficial to the player base as a whole.
Yeah.
Like it also gives you a little bit more wiggle room. Like if stuff still – because you can't catch everything, right? Mm. One, your player base on the PTR is a lot smaller than the live base, rightfully so. Yeah. And the people who are – you're exactly right. Like on the PTR, you're more likely to get people who are super hardcore about the game and willing to be the guinea pigs, for lack of a better term. So you're going to get a particular type of feedback.
Definitely. Sorry
just to finish that up. What makes that awesome though is like you can't catch every mistake, but the players who, even if the mistakes don't get caught, it gives players the sense that Bungie is listening to the feedback and implementing feedback in real time.
Definitely. And the reason I think Bungie is going to be hesitant to do this is, you know, we've worked with them quite a bit on IGN First and stuff like that. They're really protective of their footage. They're protective of their product. And I don't know if they're willing to loosen up and throw it into a PTR type environment.
Well, actually, you bring up a whole another point, which is like if PTR exists and players can access it through like a different client, like who Bungie is, like how do you prevent people from live streaming that? How do you prevent people from posting Destiny 2 footage and all of it's broken and creating this alternate perception of what the game is?
Right now with Overwatch, there isn't a restriction from that. So you can stream the PTR. You can do clips from the PTR. So, I mean, they would have to be open to doing that. But also maybe that kind of takes away from the surprise of the full live update.
Yeah. I think the important point, though, is it's a good thing for us. I can't see many downsides other than this compartmentalized feedback. And if they react too strongly based on a small user base. But I think overall, as you do them, you understand how to react. By the way, we are getting, you know, two PTRs. We just got one and we're going to get another one.
So, we sort of did.
But that's only pre-release for the game. But they are doing that early beta release. That is basically akin to it, you know.
You bring up a great point, friend. That's what they're tweaking now. That would be awesome if they just did little like, here's a new map. Try it out. Break stuff. You know, and that was their version of a PTR, like every –
Yeah, well, I think that's what people want.
Do you think it exists as like a separate client?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like the beta. You'd go download something separate. But
that's the issue, though, with PvE. Like, how do you do that? Look at how many people broke PvE just trying to jump outside the level and do all that stuff on account.
Well, you choose what goes into the PTR, right?
Yeah, maybe, I suppose.
It is a lot of work to do that stuff, though.
I'm coming.
That's exactly that's the one thing that I think that might – because in the quote, he says they're not opposed to it, right? If it's right for the game, they'll consider doing it. So obviously they're looking into it. But I do think, like, you're right. It takes resources to not just implement that PTR, but to manage it, to run it, to make sure it's up, and then to accumulate all of the feedback and try and derive some sort of actual applicable information from it. That alone is just – They're already stretched thin. Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about their resources. They have two other companies working with them to get the PC version out. And during their earnings call, they said pre-orders are higher than Destiny 1 was. Mm-hmm. And that really impressed me because do you remember Destiny 1?
Yeah.
Multi-platform, huge amount of hype. We couldn't release the video without it doing tons of views. It was just like Destiny 1 was like people were going crazy for that game. And Destiny 2 has more pre-orders than the original? I couldn't believe it because of all I see online is people still play this game and all these tired, not funny anymore memes.
Some guy on Twitter tried to convince me that Crash Bandicoot had more pre-orders than Destiny, and I was like, okay.
Crash Bandicoot did sell very well for them, but they did say during the earnings call that it had more pre-orders than Destiny 1. Positive reception so far. This is all Activision from the earnings call, so impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to come out and say like, yeah, our game's not doing so well.
Yeah.
They actually do talk about that with their mobile platforms, but that's legal mumbo jumbo.
Right, yeah. Cool.
That's everything for this week, guys. A lot of little hints and teases, things to go over.
Stretching it out to September 6th.
Which you mentioned Lars talking about PvP there. Now, we didn't really get into Trials, but yeah, I mean, he kind of said it in a way where it's like, you know, can't wait to see what the next Trials is.
But he's just going to blow people away.
Blow people away, and I'm like,
cool. That can mean a lot.
Yeah. It can.
It'll be lots of grenade launchers is what he said.
Yeah.
Every YouTuber already has.
It's rockets only.
Exactly.
Every YouTuber already has what looks like the Trials of the Nine logo. They think it's Trials of the Nine. Mm-hmm. Every time I stream, they're like, yeah, it's Trials of the Nine.
Yeah.
But like, nobody knows for sure. We'll see.
Excited for sure.
Would you be upset if it was survival? What if Trials is now
Trials
survival?
Trials is not survival.
You don't think?
It's still Trials.
You mean the same type of format? I don't think they would, because then it loses its
already 4v4, not 3v3.
I mean, it loses a punch if it has the same story.
I hope it's not
survival. Like, if it's just survival on cards.
Okay.
I think it'll maintain the res, you know, if that's what you're getting at.
Yeah. Like, do you think it's going to be elimination just in the newest?
I do. I think it's going to be elimination with a twist still. I don't know what that is.
Interesting. Okay.
That's what Trials is to me.
They would not make it something like
Survival. What was the twist of the first Trials, though?
Well, just you have to win 7 and then you get loot.
It had weight. It was 3v3. If you die, you're done. You're out. It's not a twist. That's just what it was. It was highly competitive.
Yeah. Well, the card. Sorry, the length of the card and the rewards was versus regular elimination, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the stretch of getting farther and farther, the stakes getting higher.
Yeah, I like
that's
that.
That's what made Trials what it is. But it also is what makes it a more limited audience. So I have a feeling that's what they're trying to solve for. And, you know, we'll see guided games as well, how that plays.
They have mentioned accessibility being like a really big philosophical pinnacle for them this time around, but I don't think it would hurt to have some things that are geared for just the hardcore people.
They're still going to have raids. They already said that they are having trials. I mean, Lars was just talking about it. Yeah. What it looks like, I think it's still good. I still think that's going to be like their highly competitive mode. I mean,
do you think it's going to be 4v4?
Well, it is.
Yes, it is.
We know it is.
They've confirmed that. You talk to somebody like Derek Carroll, he's like, no, we're not changing Trials.
Maybe Trials is ranked play. No.
That would be. I mean, that's
cool,
what a lot
man.
Of people want. Like, they want
a ladder.
Play. Yeah, exactly.
Rating,
or they want
a
competitive.
I think you get it.
Love that. Yeah. Oh, I just got so hyped.
I know.
Nothing. I love, as a competitive, first-person shooter player, there is nothing better than, beating someone who is good and then seeing that their MMR is, way higher than yours. And you're like, in-game, I want a number next to my name that clearly says, I'm better than you. Yes. That's what I want.
In time.
They won't do that philosophically. I've talked to Derek about that also. They won't put it in game.
Oh, man.
They won't put it in
I don't know.
But it is accessible.
I want it.
Yeah.
Well, they've done this in
MMR,
previous games. Yeah, they've done it later in the release. You know, it's like whether or not, I know you're playing.
Maybe they've loosened up.
Yeah, maybe they have.
But rank would be separate. There'd be multiple modes.
No, but a playlist. Yeah. There's ranked, there's unranked, and then there's social in Halo 5 right now, which is great. If you want to jump into ranked, it's hardcore. There's a rating next to your name. It's all about climbing that ladder, accumulating wins. Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to do that, you don't have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Because if it's going to be skill-based matchmaking and it's going
to
be...
It doesn't even have to be different for rewards.
No, I know.
But same
let's
rewards.
Let's talk about this more when we know more about Trials, guys. We do have to wrap
see
it
in
up
a few months.
Today,
they keep teasing it.
Yeah, right? Anyways. They do keep teasing it. We'll have to see what they end up doing in the long run. Thank you for joining us on today's show. I almost nailed that outro.
It was good.
A little bump.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
All right. So I don't know how to segue to the outro anymore. You guys ready? Is everybody ready?
Oh, I'm ready. Hang on here.
All right. All right, everybody. Until next time, Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.